Let me just give a very brief introduction. We are told the Gemara Maseches Sota Daf Mem Tes about Mishameis Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, Batla Kavod HaTorah, this sublime figure, Rabbi Akiva, when he passed away, there was a tremendous loss, an exceptional loss of Kavod HaTorah to the world. And that's a slightly problematic statement, because after all, the Gemara itself says, in that very same Gemara, Mishameis Raman Gamliel, when the great Rabbi Gamliel, who came before Rabbi Akiva, when he passed away, also we are told, Batla Kavod HaTorah. So what does it mean? How is that to be understood? And were we devoid of this great Kavod HaTorah when Rabbi Akiva passed away, or was it something that was lost upon the demise of Rabbi Gamliel? So a number of years ago, our great teacher of Usher Weiss shared the following suggestion, and that is that there are two forms of Kavod HaTorah in the world. One is an outward and extrinsic Kavod HaTorah. It's an appreciation and a regard for the Torah itself, like the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, that when Rabbi Gamliel used to study the Torah, he would be always in a standing, in an upright position, to show his external Kavod HaTorah and how much he appreciated what the Torah was about. But there's another measure of Kavod HaTorah, and that is one which is more congenital. It's more inherent. That is a Kavod HaTorah which is about an attitude. It's about an approach. It's about a mindset of how one studies and teaches the Torah that they represent. That's the Kavod HaTorah that exudes and radiates the personality of a human being, of how valuable every word of the Torah is. And that is what Rabbi Akiva taught us, that he said, Tilei tilim shel halachos. He learned out so many details of halacha from every single letter and word and tag in the Torah itself. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, that is something that was lacking. That is something that the world was missing, because that was his tremendous contribution to the world while he was alive. So I have to say that for the past 15 years, I've had the humbling privilege, along with thousands of others all over the world, to count myself as one of the Talmidim, as one of the students of our teacher this morning. And with that in mind, I feel there's no greater way that I can describe our teacher than to say that his very essence and his very nature is one that symbolizes and that really clearly illustrates this dimension of what Kavod HaTorah is all about. The way in which he approaches, the way in which he teaches Torah, the way in which he leads and he inspires all of us, is something that is the greatest illustration of Kavod HaTorah. It is the embodiment of what Kavod HaTorah is all about. And we, as his students, are the very proud beneficiaries of that tremendous leadership. And it's with that in mind that, on behalf of our community, I once again give our profound thanks to Rav Weiss for taking up his very short stay here in America to give us so much of his time, for a most inspiring and meaningful Shabbos that we spent together. And I thank you all for coming out again this morning for our last opportunity to share in Divrei Torah together with the Rav. So please give your attention. We'll have a shiur now from 10:15 to 11:15. Then we'll take a 2-minute break. 9:15 to 10:15. And then we will have a second shiur after a very short break from 10:15 to 11.
Good morning again, and I thank my dear Talmud, Rabbi Schechter, for his generous and somewhat exaggerated introduction. Usually one is introduced when he comes to town. So this is an introduction before we say farewell, and before we say goodbye. But it truly was a moving and inspiring weekend for me as well. And I very tangibly felt the warmth and the friendship of this community. And Bezrat Hashem will be back again. So the topic we will be discussing this morning is kitnios, legumes in proper English, beans in popular English. So the Tikkun of Kitnias goes back approximately 1,000 years. We do not find it in the Talmud, neither Bavli nor Yerushalmi. And it is not clear when this minig started, but we do find it in all the Rishonim. The Ritva de Mordechai, Trumas HaDeshen, and many other sources. And it is a minig Ashkenaz, which our brothers from the Sephardic communities did not take upon themselves. And it is found in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch 7 Tov Nun Gimel Seif Aleph. Yesh Oislim Haminig Lahachmir Ve'ein Leshanois. So the Ramon writes, the minig is to be stringent and to refrain from consuming kidneys on Pesach Ve'ein Leshanois. However, we do find three halachas in the Ramo in regarding the difference between kidneys and proper chometz. Number one, kidneys einam oislim tavshil. If kidneys is combined with other ingredients in a dish and it is cooked together with other foodstuffs, it is permissible. Other machores asurois osrim benoten tam, even if it is a minimum, but as long as the taste is obvious, the entire dish is prohibited. Not so kidneyois. Second halacha that the Ramo quotes, mutar lahadlik b'shemen shel kidneyois. We could use kidneyous oil for adlukas aner, to light, to heat. And the third halacha is mutar lahashhot kidneyot. Because regarding chametz on Pesach, there are three different prohibitions: isur achila, isur hana'a, bal yira'eh, ve'bal yematzeh. We cannot eat chametz. We cannot derive any other benefit from chametz. Selling or different usage of chametz. Neither can we have chametz in our possession, but this rule doesn't apply to kidneys. And you could have kidneys in your possession. So these are the three halachas in which we do differentiate between legumes, between kidneyot, and proper chametz bePesach. What is this prohibition based on? And what's the rationale and the reasoning? Why can't we eat kidneys on Pesach? Obvious, it's not chometz. There can be no chometz only when we consume grain, defined by Chazal as chameshes minei dogon. And legumes are not grain. So what's the issue of kidneys? Two different approaches that we find v'divrei rabbeinu harishonim. So the Trumas HaDeshen, Simen Kuf Gimel, quoted by the Ramo and Darkei Moshe, and the Maharil in Hilchos Pesach. The Maharil and the Trumas HaDeshen are the fathers of Minhogei Ashkenaz, and most of the Minhogim quoted by the Ramo are based either on Maharil or on Trumas HaDeshen. So both the Maharil and Trumas HaDeshen say and explain the origin and the rationale of Issa kidneys. Kidneys were used in a similar way to grain. And in poorer communities in Europe, they used corn to produce bread or cake. And therefore, people might confuse grain with kidneys. And people will see others eating bread produced from corn, and they might assume that one could eat chametz on Pesach. So as a siyag la-Torah, b'derech harchaka, Ashkenazim stayed away from kidneys. That is one approach. The other that we find in the Ritva, Lamed Beis Masechet Psochim, and a Meiri as well, is a cheshash of taroivis chometz. Because the same climate, same conditions that are needed to grow chameshes min adogen, different grains are the ones necessary to grow corn or rice. And when people reaped the harvest, many times there was a teroves, and there was a mixture of grain kernels together with the corn or the rice. And that is a chashash of teroves chometz, and that is reason number two. There are very clear and distinct differences between the two different reasonings, the two different reasons that Ashkenazim prohibited the consumption of kidneys. If it's a chashash chometz, then obviously it would be a more stringent issa than if it's just a chashash dilma osi la'achlufe. People might confuse kidneys, legumes, with grains. So, and the Rambam writes, kidneys einam osrim tavshil. If you cooked or baked cake or another dish, and you have one of the ingredients, kidneys, then the tavshil is not prohibited, and its consumption would be permissible. Is that only if there is shishim beheter keneged isur? Because the basic halacha of taroves isur betoich heter is, if the isur is less than echod b'shishim, we assume that the taste of the isur is not discernible, is not obvious, and in that case is botel berov. So when the Trumas Edeshen says that kidneys einam osrim tavshil, the Trumas Edeshen explains, chometz v'pesach asur b'mashehu. Chometz v'pesach is never bottle berov, even if it's a minimal amount, less than 1 in 100, less than 1 in 1,000. However, lo gazru isur mashehu b'kidneys. So the Trumas Edeshen was the very earliest source, or one of the early sources of this prohibition of kidneys, clearly explains that the heter applies only when it's bottle b'shishim. Choyk Yankov, 500 years younger than the Trumas Edeshen, explains and assumes in Siman Tov Nun Gimel that the psak shekitnois lo osrim tavshil is as long as there is a majority that is not kidneys. We don't need shishim kedei levatloi. It would be enough if 51% of the dish is not kidneys. Even if 49 is kidneys, it would be permissible. And the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Tes quotes the Choyk Yankov, which would seem to be a surprise, because the Trumas Edeshen is one of the basic sources, and he was one of the Rishonim. The Choyk Yankov is a very important source, but he is an Achron, hundreds of years after the Trumas Edeshen, and the Mishnah Berurah accepts his lenient opinion, and so does the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and that is the Minak. That kidneys is not prohibited only if it's ba'ein, or it is the majority of a tafshel. If it is a minority, there is no issue. Some years ago, I remember a frantic phone call that I got the Erev Shabbos in the afternoon from a family in our shchuna. The woman was expecting many guests, shver and shviger. You know what a shver and a shviger are? I think that's in English as well. A shviger is a shviger in every language. To the better or to the worse. And she had many guests. And after she finished cooking, to her horror, she realized that the spices she used were kidneys. And she called, "What do I do now?" And my psak was, "Don't tell your shviger about it." And you could use the food. Based on the Ramah, the Titnios doesn't ask at a tafshel. So according to the Tumas Sedeshin, there would be no room for leniency because it needs to be botel b'shishim, and spices give it tam, even yoisim b'shishim, defined in halachic sources, letama avida. That's what spice is all about. Spice is about giving a flavor and giving a taste. So if we would be dealing with any other of the macholas asurois, there would be no room for leniency because min b'shein aminoi, b'nois en tam. And there definitely is nois en tam because it's spices. V'tavlin afilo be'elef lo batel. That is the halacha. But my psak was based on Chayk Yankov, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Mishneh Brura, who expressed leniency. Even though it would be a surprise, as I explained before, because the more important source and the more basic source is the Tumas Sedeshin. But bearing in mind that we're dealing with a minag, not even in Issei D'Rabbanan. Sveike D'Oraita L'Chumra, Sveike D'Rabbanan L'Kula, and we're dealing with a minag which is of lesser stringency than an Issei D'Rabbanan, so the majority of Poskim Paskin L'Kula. But one might argue that this psak depends on the basic rationale of the entire Issur of Kitniyos. So if it's just a chashash, people might confuse legumes with chametz, then we should be lenient. But if it's actual chashash of taroivus chametz, then maybe we should have a harsher approach and be more stringent. Maybe. But it is not necessary to assume that the basic rationale of this issur would affect the end product and the conclusive ruling, because the Tumas Edeshin is the one that explains the rationale as Dilma Osi Leichlufi, not a Cheshash Chometz, and he is the one that is stringent regarding Shishim. So it is not Habahatalia. And obviously, there is no real Suffolk chametz. It is only a harchaka and a minig. And therefore, we could have the lenient psak. Divrei Malkiyo was one of the greatest poskim in Lithuania 150 years ago. Rav Malkiyo Tenenbaum, he was the Rav in Lomja. Chelek Dalet Simen Chof Beis, in his sefer, we find his formula of the Shtar Mechiras Chometz. And there are different formulations of different Gedolim and different Kehilos. But what is surprising in the Shtar Mechira, and that is the document of selling the Chometz to a non-Jew, we find a big surprise. In his Shtar Mechira, he sold kidneys. And I am aware of no other source in the Shtar Mechira that I formulated and I use, we don't sell kidneys. There is no need to sell kidneys because the Ramor very clearly explains Mutar Lahashot Kidneyot. The prohibition of Balya Ra'ev and Balya Matzeh does not apply to kidneys. And once again, one would argue it depends on the basic reasoning. If it is a cheshash taroi v'schometz, then we should sell kitniyos. But if it's just, we are afraid people might confuse kitniyos with chometz, why would there be a need to sell kitniyos? So the Divra Makil is a yochid, and I know of no other source in which we sell kitniyos. Dealing with the basic issue of kitniyos, and I quoted before, shekitniyot lo osrim et atavshil. Chuvis Maharam Shik, one of the greatest disciples of the Chassam Sofer going back 200 years, Or HaChaim Simareish Mamalef, Maharam Shik says that people that need to use kidneys for little children or for the ill, and the Mishneh Berura clearly says, Siv Koten Zayin Simen Tov Nen Gimel, that even Acholu She'ein by Sekona, if there is a need, could use kidney in some Pesach, that we should have extra kalim for them. Which comes as a surprise, because of kitniyos lo osrim tavshil, kal v'chomer shelo osrim et hakelim. if you could have kidney ice as one of the ingredients in a dish, and the dish is permissible, it would go without saying. But according to the Maharam Shik, it is only in a bidyevet situation that we say shekitniyot lo usrim tafshil. But lechatchila, you definitely cannot use kitniyos as spice or any other ingredient. So lechatchila, we should machmir even regarding kalim. And in a home in which we use kitniyos either for children or for the ill, we should have separate kalim. And that is a psak that we find in Shuvis Maharam Shik, as I quoted, Siman Reish Mem Aleph. The basic prohibition of kitniyos for Ashkenazim, is that a gzera or a minhag? Thank you. Chasam Sofer, Shuvis Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Chof Beis, defines kitniyos as a gzera, which would be somewhat of a surprise. Do we have authority in our days to institute new gzeres or tikkunos? The Rambam, in his introduction to his commentary on Shisha Sidra Mishnah, writes that Le'acha Chasimas HaTalmud, after the conclusion of the Talmud, no Beis Din ever has authority to be goyze gzeres or metakan tikkunos. Only lemekoymoi vishat, for his kehila and during his time. But it was only Chazal, the Chachamim of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Babylonian and Yerushalmi Talmudim, that had the authority to be metaken takenot and gozer gzerat for eternity and for the world over. Liyachah chasimus the Talmud. Every basin has authority over his kehillah and only during his time. We find the same assumption, the same principle in Rosh, Shabbos, Perek Beis, Siman Tezvav. Magad Mishnah, Perek Hei, Hilchas Chometz Amasa, broadens the scope and the authority of Geizer Exeris. And he writes, since the days of the Geonim, we do not find new gezeres or tekonis. So according to the Magad Mishnah, the period of the Gaonim was la'acha chasimas haTalmud, came after the conclusion of the Talmud. So according to the Rosh and the Rambam, it is only Chazal that had this supreme authority. According to Magad Mishnah, it is extended after the conclusion of the Talmud to the days of the Gaonim. So as I mentioned before, we do not know exactly when the minhag of kitniyos originated, but the first and earliest sources we find in the Rishonim. I'm not aware of any source in the Geonim that we find kitniyos, but basically the halachic sources of the period of Geonim are so sparse we don't have many sources. So the Chasam Sofer assumes that kitniyos is a gzeira, which would lean more stringency to the issur of kitniyos. Most other sources, kitniyos is defined as a minag and not as a gezeira. So how do we deal with sfeikos in kitniyos? How do we deal with people that have a desperate need for kitniyos? And how do we define kitniyos? Kinoa, would that be defined as kidneys? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a very substantial tshuva. Igros Moshe Chelek Gimel Siman Samach Gimel, and Rabbi Moshe deals with peanuts, and he says, "B'makom shenahagu le'asoyam, we should stay away from peanuts." But in many kehillas in Lithuania, people ate peanuts on Pesach, according to the testimony of the Igros Moshe, and his argument is, kitniyos would only apply to those foodstuffs that were available in Europe in the days of the Rishonim, because the minag applies only to those kitniyos that were consumed in the days going back 1,000 years in Europe. And that is why one may assume potatoes, and potatoes are not defined as kidneys. That is the argument of the Eges Moshe. I humbly disagree. My Talmidim know that I am a tremendous admirer of Reb Moshe. But kachi darka shel Torah. Torah hi v'lilmed anitzorech. Many of the great achronim going back 200 years deal with the question of potatoes. And the Nishmas Adam writes, Shomati shebekeilat Fjorda, in Germany, they stay away from potatoes because they feel that potatoes are kidneys. And that is opinion. That is the opinion of the Chayodom. The Prima Godom in Tov Nun Gimel writes, potatoes are kidneys for a very simple reason. They're too big to be kidneys. So legumes are beans. Usually they're very small. And they're similar. They resemble grain in a way. Not only in the way they are used, but only in their also in their appearance, the way they look. So nobody will confuse potatoes with grain. And when we pluck those potatoes out of the ground, there is no taroivis of grain. So both arguments and both different rationales for the prohibition of kidneys wouldn't apply to potatoes. Not because potatoes were brought from the Americas back to Europe 500 years ago, and they were not available in Europe in the days of the Rishonim. So the Moshe argues that the reason potatoes aren't kidneys is because they weren't available 500 years ago. But the Moshe wasn't aware, neither was corn. And corn was also brought from the Americas to Europe. Is that the mic? So how about quinoa? So quinoa is a South American grain used by the Incas hundreds of years. And when the Europeans came to the Andes and to South America, they almost forgot about quinoa, and quinoa had a renaissance in the past 50, 60 years. It was not available in Europe going back to the days of the Rishonim. According to the Moshe's logic, it should not be defined as kidneys. The way I understand kidneys, I don't think that the Rishonim compiled a list what is included in this minag. Because in the Ramo, going back more than 400 years, the Ramo is skeptical about anise, elinder, and other spices, and other beans. What was his suffix? We do not find a list of kidneys in any of the early sources. So I think the minag was a very general one. Anything that might be confused with grains, anything that is used in a similar fashion as grains, that would be kidneys. And it is lefi ha-makom ulefi ha-zman. So I do not think it depends what was available in the days of the Rishonim. Regarding cottonseed oil, today it's a big controversy in Israel. When I was a child, when I was young, I remember everyone used cottonseed oil. And I think all the kashrus organizations in America gave a hechsher. But today's world is a world of machmirim. We love chumras. Reb Shlomo Zalman, in my eyes, Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe were the two pillars of halacha, of our day and age. And Reb Shlomo Zalman also had a great sense of humor, and he many times said, this is a kula she'ein roiva tzibur yecholem lamoid boy. So in Chazal we find a concept of a chumra she'ein rav tzibi yecholim lamed boy, and many times Reb Shmuel Zalman leaned towards the kula, but he humorously commented that this might be a kula she'ein rav tzibi yecholim lamed boy. So two of the great halachic authorities going back 100 years in Central Europe were the Maharsham, the Rav of Brzezhan in Galicia, and Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan in Kovno. They were amongst the greatest gedolim, and they were known for their leniency in many different areas in halacha. And they both argue that shemen kitniyos should not be prohibited at all, because grains weren't used to produce oil, but rather to be baked and produce bread. But we could conclude from the Ramah that shemen kitniyos should be prohibited, because one of the 3 points of leniency I quoted before from the Ramah is we could use oil of kitniyos lahadlokas aner. And if the Ramah says you could light candles with oil of kitniyos, obviously it should not be consumed bederach achila. So the Masham, Chelek Aleph Kuf Pei Gimel, and Ber Yitzchak, Simen Yud Aleph Orachayim, express leniency. Most of the other Achroinim, based on the Ramah, prohibit shemen of kitniyos. How do we define kitniyos? Regarding cottonseed oil, Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Gimel Kuf Lamed Ches, is Machmir, my Rebbe, Kloizemoger Rebbe, Divrei Yatziv, Semen Kuf Tzadik Vav, or Chaim Chelek Bey, says that kitniyos is a minag, definitely not as stringent as an Issa de Rabbanan, and Suffolk de Rabbanan Lekula. So when you have a Suffolk regarding kitniyos, one should be makel. I was asked many times by people that have celiac, and they cannot consume any grain, and there are different degrees of celiac. Some of them can partake of no grains, no gluten, and some of them have a problem even with the kazayis matz. So today there are different shiurim, different ways to define the quantity of a kazayis. We have the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Noah. But b'shas adchak, my psak is, a kazayis is as big as an olive. That is a zayis. So the sheer kazayis is the average olive of our day. So a person that has celiac, I'm machmir shiur Chazon Ish. I'm young, somewhat. I don't see myself as old, because being old is an attitude. And I once said, you don't stop having fun when you become old. You become old when you stop having fun. And I'm having fun every day. Every sugya I learn, I'm having fun. Every mesecht amesayim, I'm having fun. Every tshuva I write, I'm having fun. So I hope to stay young. Why did I speak about being old? Yes. So I am machmir shiur Chazon Ish. I have no problem with matzahs, and I actually like hot matzahs. So I'm machmir shiur Chazon Ish. But b'shas adchak, one could make a brocha al achilas matzah on the quantity of a kazayis. So to be on the safe side, let's say the larger than average zeisim, olives. But people that have celiac and cannot eat matzah shivas yemei achag, so they could eat a variety of different things. Potatoes. But I was asked by people that have difficulty being satisfied by potatoes. Not all agree with potatoes, and I think b'shas adchak we could be matir kitniyos. The Chaya Yodam Kuf Chav Zayin writes, Misha ein loy ma lechoil bedoiche godoil yochoil levashoil kitniyos. He could cook kitniyos. What does the Chaya Yodam mean when he says Misha ein loy ma lechoil? Does it mean a person that has nothing? That would be a very uncommon situation or scenario. The only thing he has at home is kitniyos. Obviously, he has matzahs. I am a dayik from the lashon of the Chayodom. Misha ein loy ma lechol elo bedoichik yochal levashel kitniyos means he has no cooked food. He might have fruits, he might have vegetables, and obviously he has matzah, but he wants warm food, cooked food, and that is why the Chaya Yodam says, Yochel Levashel Kitniyos. But that is truly when a person has no other cooked food to eat. So on one hand, let me make this very clear. I am a machmir in kitniyos. I think this is a minig that goes back 1,000 years, and we have no authority at all for Ashkenazim to be mekel in the issur of kitniyos. But in those situations in which we find firm ruling from the great achronim to be mekel, there is no need to be machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Echayla. Not dealing with a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. Chayla sheyesh bo sakana eats nevelis and treifis, and he eats on Yom Kippur. Chayla sheein bo sakana could consume kitniyos. Kitniyos are not medicine. They won't heal him, but they will make life somewhat more comfortable, and they'll satisfy his pangs of hunger. The Mishnah Berurah is meikel. So people that have celiac would definitely be defined as a chayla sheein bo sakana. If they feel no need to eat kitniyos, they should not. So if they would be happy and satisfied with various macholim that are kosher of Pesach and contain no kitniyos, that definitely is the better way around. But if for any reason they feel a need to eat kitniyos, there would be room for leniency for two different reasons and two different sources. Number one would be chayla sheein bo sakana. Number two would be the Chaya Yodam, also quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, mi sheein lo ma lechol ela bedoichak yochol levashel kitniyos. A few years ago, I was called about a person. His mother was 90 years old, and she had a severe diarrhea, and in her experience, the only way to stop it would be eating rice. And they were an Ashkenazi community, an Ashkenazi family, and goes without saying, my psak was, then cook rice and have her eat rice. Because if she has a severe diarrhea, she definitely would be defined as a chayla sheein bo sakana. And the only way to stop it, based on her personal experience, would be cooked rice. Diarrhea, especially for an elderly person, might be a substantial danger, which would be dehydration. And dehydration is very dangerous for young people and old alike. So going back almost 200 years, we find two interesting tshuvas. One in Shoel HaMeshev. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natan Zan was the greatest posek in Poland, and he might have been defined in his time as the posek ador. Chelik Dalet, Chelik Beis, Madure Dalet, Simekuv Chav Zayin, we find in Shoel HaMeshev. Obviously, it was a bad financial situation, And the Gaboy Tzedakah of the community didn't have enough Kimche de Pischa to supply for the needy and the desperate in the many towns and villages and cities in Poland and Galicia. So in those days, instead of giving money, he actually supplied the poor with grain and foodstuffs. But due to a famine and there wasn't enough rain, there was a shortage of grain, and the Shoalim Eishev Paskin this year, we will supply them with legumes, with kidneys. So that was a general psak for the broader public, because there was a lack of grain. And I'm sure if that would happen today, the Gedolim would say, okay, so let's figure out how much is a kazayas, and people should eat as much as they need. It took a gadol of the stature and caliber as the Shoalim Eishev to give a general heter this year. We will supply the aniyim with kidneys, and we find a similar psak once again in Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Aleph, Simen Chav Ches. So the Shoalim Eishev surprisingly bases his psak on a halacha that we find in the Talmud, Machilin es aniyim demai. Demai, sofek maiser. And Chazal say we could supply the poor, the needy, and the desperate with demai. So the Shoalim Eishev argues, demai is a sveikah d'oraisa. Even bizman hazeh, it's a sveikah d'rabbanon. And Chazal permitted demai for aniyim, kal v'choy mekitniyos. That is far-fetched. Demai is a special tikkun. From the days of the Mishnah till the days of the Shoalim Eishev, we find no halachic authority that would argue sofek is the rabbanon muter la'aniyim, because that is what we learn from demai. No, demai stands apart. That was a tikkuna. Lechatchila, when Chazal asur demai, they excluded aniyim from that iser. No one ever learned to permit sofek kisei derabbanan for aniyim based on the concept of demai. So the thoros of the Shoalim Eishev is questionable. The Divrei Malkiel has a different approach and argument, and he says, bearing in mind that kidneys is a minag, adata dehochi, probably we could assume lo tiknu. A minig is similar to a neder. And in Din HaNedarim we find it depends on the intention of the person that made that neder. So the Divrei Malkiel says we could fairly assume and guess that at the time in which the minig of kidneys was accepted, they probably would exclude days of famine in which we don't have enough grain to supply for the needy and the desperate of our communities. So let's just wrap up this shiur. I did not discuss the basic importance of minhagim, but many times when people turn to me and they ask shaylos and they say, Kvod Rav, I just want to know halacha, don't give me anything else, I respond by saying, you can't impose on me what to give you. And Yiddishkeit is based on two pillars, and both are essential and important. And the two pillars are minag and halacha. Halacha and misaira. And minag is not something you choose to accept or reject. There are two sugyas in Shas, Psochim Dafnun, Chulin Tzadik Gimel. Menolan de minag miltai. How do we know that we need to adhere to minhagim? And above these sugyas, Chazal bring a source from Sefer Mishlei, Shema b'di Musar Avicha, v'al titosh Torah simecha. So minhagim are binding. They are mandatory, not voluntary. And those are two sugyas in Shas. Two sugyas in Yerushalmi, Bava Metziach of Zayin, Yevomis Samach Vav, in which we find a surprising ruling, Minag Mevatel Halacha. Sometimes Minag is so powerful and so binding that Minag overrides Halacha. That is a somewhat questionable assumption, because twice in Bavli, Rosh Hashanah Tezvav Omed Beis, Bov Metzia Ayin Omed Aleph, we find that Halacha always would have the upper hand. So I wrote a very lengthy essay about the concept of Minig Mavat La'alocha. But the mere expression, Minig Mavat La'alocha, proves the validity, the centrality, and the importance of Minhag. So when people tell me, Kvod Rav, I just want to know Halacha, I say, I teach Yiddishkeit, and you can't tell me how to teach. Minhagim are part of what our story is all about. So this would be a lengthy discussion. How do we define Minhagim? Tov Reish Ayin and Hilchas Chanukah, there's an interesting argumentation between the Tur and the Beis Yosef. The Tur brings, there is a minhag that women do not do malachis as long as the Ner Chanukah are still alight, burning. And some have the minhag that women don't do a malacha the entire day. That's what's brought in Tur. Ve'ein l'shanois. And the Beis Yosef disagrees. And he writes, it is a minhag she'ein bo srach isur. This minhag has no rationale. Why? According to the Beis Yosef, a minhag is only valid if it has meaning, rationale, harchoka, or chizuk. Why would women have vacation from all their duties 8 days of Chanukah? This doesn't make sense. What is the basis and the meaning of this minhag, argues the Beis Yosef? The Bach sides with the Tur. And the Bach argues, it's a minhag, then it's binding, whether we understand the rationale or not. The opinion of the Beis Yosef is different, and he says, Em ein b'minag srach isur, ve'em bo archaka, ve'em bo chizuk, then the minig means nothing. So how to define minhogim is a big sugya. But the minig of kitniyos definitely has basic rationale, as we explain, and therefore, yes, it is a binding minag. So in today's shiur, we discuss the perimeters and the situations in which we would express leniency regarding kitniyos. But kitniyos is a minhag, one of the earliest and most fundamental minhagim. And as I quoted, it goes back 1,000 years. So we feel somewhat uneasy, especially in our day and age, because 1,000 years ago, Sephardim lived in southern Europe, northern Africa, Spain, while Ashkenazim lived en masse in Central Europe, Northern Europe, so there was a geographical divide. And even later, usually, Sephardim married their own, Ashkenazim married their own. In our day and age, when Baruch Hashem, we've all come together, and so many families have Sephardi and Ashkenazi spouses, it is somewhat confusing. But that does not give us the permission to just make away with the minhag of kitniyos. It is a very early minhag, and most of the achronim have a very stringent attitude towards the minhag of kitniyos. Sofek kitniyos lekula, as I explained, but basically this is a minhag we need to adhere to. We could take just a few questions. Yeah, in my ruling, Kinua is kidney is because it is used in a